News Radio WJPF. We started our series this week with Gary Schaefer, manager of the Southern Illinois Airport. Big business in Southern Illinois continued on Tuesday with Aaron Chris, the operations manager for Intertape Polymer Group. And yesterday it was Todd Goodman, the CEO of Timberline Live Pet Foods. And today it's Tom Welge from Gilster Mary Lee. Morning, Tom. I hope you're well. It's good to meet you.
Good morning, Robert.
Actually, I'm Tom. Robert's the one who called you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom.
That's all right. No worries. We got two Toms, no waiting here.
That's good.
You know, I have a horrible, really terrible and stupid thing to confess to you. I moved to Murfreesboro in the late 80s from Harrisburg, Illinois. And for the first year I lived in Murfreesboro, I thought Gilster Mary Lee was a trucking company because I saw them everywhere.
Well, our trucks are about the only thing that related to the business that we have our name on, actually. We are a store brand, private label food manufacturing company. We really don't have a lot of brands ourselves. Our brands are our customers' brands, and those are supermarket chains and wholesalers across the country and into Canada, Mexico, and other parts of the world.
So, really, when you go into the grocery store, your finger does a lot of pointing then.
Right. See if it's our product or maybe a competitor's product, or maybe can we suggest, Schnucks, for example, isn't carrying an item we make. We should talk to Schnucks about trying to get that in a store brand that they can sell.
So when I think about this, because, I mean, I'm literally doing an interview on this big business in Southern Illinois, and I know you're coming up on Thursday and yesterday, and I see one of the Gilster Mary Lee trucks go by. Right? We own the truck. I mean, you ship. We're a railroad. The sheer amount and bulk of what you do in the place you take up in the food chain of America, you get overlooked, I think, when you realize just how much you create and allow other people to make.
Yeah, we're in terms of big food companies, we're a small food company, but in terms of food companies that are focused on store brands, we're one of the larger ones, and we're very focused on store brand. We do have something in every major chain, grocery chain and wholesaler in the U.S., and, you know, into the Canadian market, Mexico. We make, for customers, I used to say, from Aldi to Whole Foods and everybody in between.
Can you give me an example, if I go into the grocery store on Sunday, of something you go, there. Can you give me some product examples that you're in particular maybe proud of?
Well, I would tell you one thing we're very proud of is some of the celebrity cereals that we've done in recent years. We have done Flutie Flakes, Patrick Mahomes cereal with a grocery chain Hy-Vee. Those have been big successes for us. We also make the coating mix for Chick-fil-A, actually, which is not part of our store brand business, but a very significant part of our business. And that's been a great relationship for many years as well. But in terms of walking into a regular grocery store, things like mac and cheese, corn flakes, microwave popcorn, marshmallows, cake mixes, pancake mixes, our stuff is, we call it center store, right? And it's basically dry, shelf-stable type products. Things that you would, particularly if you have a big family, you're eating lots of pasta, mac and cheese, pancake mix, those kind of things.
See, because they always talk about how petroleum fuels the nation's economy. Well, you fuel the nation's species. I mean, but I am surprised by marshmallows because I'd always looked at you as grains.
Right.
And so that surprised
me. That was our heritage. We grew out of the milling business in the late 1800s. And then in the flour milling business, we did sell our own brands. And, of course, every little town in southern Illinois and a lot of the Midwest had its own flour mill, and that's what Gilster Milling Company was. But as the world changed and the dynamics of the food industry changed, my father, Don, recognized we needed to evolve the product lines, and so we went into value-added things, and cake mixes was the first thing we produced. But at that time, he realized we didn't have the capital to compete against already big brands at that point, like Betty Crocker, Duncan Hines. And so he hitched our wagon to store brands. And from that point on, the early 1960s, we've had our focus on that segment of the business.
Well, then chances are I've had some because I'm a big fan of store brands because they save me money.
Definitely. They we strip out marketing and other costs. that the national brands have, and so the retailer, your grocery store, can sell it at a discount versus the national brand, and they are very particular about the quality, the ingredients, the formulas. And in fact, sometimes you see the national brands declining in quality while the specification for a store brand product, not just our product, but any store brand product, remains the same.
Yeah, and that is a big deal. I've talked to a lot of people about this recently, and what you just mentioned is significant in the food market right now. So here's, I need a little help visualizing this. Tom Welge from Gilster Mary Lee is joining us this morning. So I grew up on the farm. We were grain farmers. We had wheat. We had corn. We had soybeans, all right? I drive the truck to the grain elevator in Shawneetown, Illinois, and then I never saw it again.
Right.
All right. Did any of those three things come to Gilster Mary Lee, you know, figuratively speaking, from a farm? I'm trying to envision the funnel that of the ingredients that go into your company.
So a good example is the soft wheat that you guys probably grew that went to a grain elevator. You probably sold it, or the elevator did, to a miller. A really good example, there's two here in southern Illinois, Ardent, which has a mill here in Chester, or Seamer Milling up in Effingham. Both are very good suppliers of ours. They take that flour, they mill it, turn it into a flour, and then we use that in cake mix, for example. Lots of corn products are used in the things we manufacture. A lot of that is grown locally and processed in the corn mills here. There's one down in Cape Girardeau area, SEMO Milling, that takes in corn from farmers and then turns it into a meal that we can use to make a corn flake. Soy, it's a little more roundabout. We use a little bit of soybean oil, but soy is an important ingredient in a whole bunch of different kind of food products. And those are typically then might go to a flavor house that makes the flavors for a particular type of cereal or baking mix or something along those lines.
So, I look at you as a lifeline to farms. I mean, that's kind of how I see that part of it. So it comes in your funnel and then goes out. But in between, on the exit thing, from the funnel in to the funnel out, are the people. How many people do you have? What is staffing like? I've heard that's fluctuated over the years, but I always hear a big number.
Yeah, it's around 3,000 currently.
Wow.
And that's across Illinois and Missouri. Staffing is a challenge for every business these days, but we are very fortunate. We've got a lot of long-term employees that have been with us for many years. Sometimes three generations of a single family are with us. And so we're very blessed that way to have those people with us. But yeah, labor is a big part of the business, the food business, whether that's the people that are formulating the products or running the manufacturing lines or loading it onto the trucks or, you know, the drivers that you see taking products across the country.
The guys I would run into in Murfreesboro when I was still, you know, my mom used to tell me, you know, if you don't know the answer, you know, keep your mouth shut, let people think you're stupid as opposed to remove all doubt. And so I slowly started learning more about Gilster Mary Lee as I lived in Murfreesboro. And very often the person sitting next to me as they were telling me what they did in their workday was dusting off flour, from the grinding process that was going on. And then I met a lot of drivers. I mean, so you have your own trucking company, basically, right?
We are. There's a nationwide shortage of truck drivers, so we're always hiring, looking for drivers. We are looking, our website, www.gilstermarylee.com, has information on how to apply for a job in either manufacturing or truck driving. But yeah, we consider ourselves almost as much of a distribution company as a manufacturing company.
Yeah, when it comes to food in bulk, right? It's not like you can have a pipeline for flour, you know?
Right.
It's interesting because you just talked about the shortage of truck drivers. The last figure I saw may have been from the Trucking Association, Illinois Trucking Association, 160,000 short when it comes to truck drivers in this country. There's a lot of things going on with supply lines and prices. And here's a question from Jim. He lives in Chittyville, and he says, Tom, could you ask Mr. Welge to comment on ingredient prices and how much they've increased and any issues with supply shortages that you see on this really fundamental level? I mean, Rome, lived on bread. We're no different.
Right, right. Yeah, unfortunately, there's been a tremendous amount of inflation. Really started, I would say, in the back half of 2021. And this has been the most inflation in food ingredients in 40 years. And that's across pretty much every commodity. And a lot of that's labor-driven, some of it's market-driven, crop-driven, but it was a whole bunch of factors all hitting at once. And but labor is really one of the biggest parts. I think the good news is they seem to have plateaued somewhat where we're sitting here today, but I honestly don't see prices coming down anytime soon, unfortunately. And that's, you know, that's a big strain on people's budgets. I think and there have been supply issues, no doubt, at this time, at different times. That seems to be getting better as well, but I think the pricing will remain firm. And that kind of goes back to the mission of our company, you know, in providing store brands, right? It's a better value, same quality product. People can make their food dollars go further.
All right, now I talked to a food expert, and he says, yeah, he says, you know, like corn, you know, we had some horrible shipping problems. He says food right now and food prices are driven by transportation and labor, not necessarily by ingredients.
Yeah, I would say the transportation and the labor piece are the biggest components of cost right now. Different crops, you know, have some impacts as well, you know, just normal crop years. And if you have a particular commodity, potatoes is one that's an important ingredient of ours. It's not really grown around here, but they've had 2 years of bad crops on top of labor and supply chain transportation issues. And they have really made it difficult to find potatoes.
Yeah, in Canada, they destroyed thousands and thousands of tons this year.
Yes. Yep.
You know, there's one thing that interests me, Tom Welge, because this is a company business to you. Now, when you look at this, all right, 1895 is when your roots really started to grow in Chester, Illinois. And a lot of times a business that's successful like yours, they don't change. And then they die because of it. And you can look at a lot of places to point this out. But that's not the case with you. So how do you keep your eye on the ball, on the horizon, to ensure that stewardship for your company and your family and the multi-generational family? Because sometimes we're not very good at that. But you're a big company. That means it's even harder to shift and move. How do you survive change, decades, centuries of change?
Well, I think you have to be smart enough, one thing, to get outside opinions. It's easy for all of us to think, you know, we know everything, we know our business, we know what we should be doing. It's good to get opinions of other folks, whether those are customers or suppliers or just outside trusted, you know, business advisors. We have to embrace change, not be afraid of change, be willing to change. You know, one good thing about being a private company is we can be pretty nimble. And when we want to make changes, we don't have a lot of death by committee or anything, you know, that
right.
Sometimes larger companies do. They say, you know, fail often, but fail early. So if you do make a mistake, it's not a huge one. You course correct and you move forward. And, you know, and like all of us, right, we're going to make mistakes. The goal is just to have more winners than losers at the end of the day.
All right. Well, here's an interesting question. I don't see a name attached to this. It says, does Gilster Mary Lee have a program for immigrants working like the Orchards? And when it comes to staffing, it was interesting because I talked to Intertape Polymer Group earlier this week, and they had been using inmates and said it was a lifesaver, especially during COVID. So I was wondering, do you have something similar like this to be able to keep, I mean, especially with 3,000 people, Tom?
We do recruit from different, you know, immigrant communities, Hispanic communities, and, you know, different areas have been very good employees, have joined the workforce. We bring them on, train them. I think all employers have to look at kind of all of the above these days. Another thing we engaged in was working with the autistic community and bringing on employees that are autistic. That has been a tremendous benefit, great employees there. And we're even using a service called Variable, which is, think of Uber for employees. You know, everybody of the workforce today, they say the people that are in the workforce, 36% of them consider themselves freelancers, meaning they don't have a regular W-2, you know, type paycheck coming in. They want to work certain days a week and be flexible. So that's another tool that we're using. So to staff today, and I think the working through people coming out of corrections, that's another great opportunity. There's about 500,000 people coming out of corrections across the country every year. So to really have the economy recover, you know, we have to fill the jobs, and we have to be open to many different avenues to do that. This talking about this change, right? Things aren't the same, and we have to think about things differently on the recruiting and retention side of the business, too.
Tom Welges, President and CEO of Gilster Mary Lee. Before I let you go, when people in your position, been my experience, when they see a worker, they see the people that are behind them. It's a spouse, it's a son or daughter, it's grandparents, and you realize that your company not only produces something that keeps people alive in the most literal of senses, but also you're a steward for a company that some 3,000 families rely on in some capacity to be able to keep food on their table and baby needs new shoes. Stewardship from a president's standpoint, 3,000 people and that sense of responsibility, my first thing is I feel that's really an intimidating responsibility.
You know, some days it is. I think what makes it easier is, it's not just one person. It's a huge team of people that we all work together. Really is a family. And, you know, we try to be good corporate citizens. We try to be good stewards of the business for our employees, for the communities where we work, for the business partners that we rely on. And so it's not one person. It is a total team community effort and lots of support. And again, very blessed to have a lot of people in our business through the years that have made it what it is.
Before I let you go, what's next? If you don't have a what's next, I'm really curious about, when it comes to the future. Sure, there are a lot of issues there that are going on, but, you know, was there something when you said, look, I know I've got this interview this morning, and there was one point that you wanted people to know? It's really free up to you, Tom. Where in those categories? Is there something I should have asked you about, or is there something coming in the future you want people to know about?
I would encourage people, and this is not just about our company, but in manufacturing in general. There are tremendous opportunities for young people and not so young people in manufacturing these days. It's been said that manufacturing used to be the three D's, you know, dirty, dark, and dangerous, but that's not the case. In manufacturing today, there's many different jobs. There's lots of opportunities. There's high tech. There's, opportunities to work with your hands. Whatever you like to do, look in your community as an opportunity to join the manufacturing workforce and find a really good, rewarding career.
Yeah, you're an anchor store for a county and a region.
Well, we have been very blessed to have the support of the region and the towns that opened their arms when they were trying to start this business and grow this business, and that's a responsibility to maintain, a good presence here and try to be positive influence on the region.
Tom Welges, President and CEO of Gilster Mary Lee, Chester, Illinois. Tom, I really appreciate your time and so much of it.
Thank you, Tom.